WNCW presents this week's More to the Story. I'm Paul Foster. Joining me, the politics and government reporter with WFAE Public Radio of Charlotte, Steve Harrison. Steve, the first thing I want to ask you about from the Queen City is what went down Monday evening when Charlotte City Council took on the task of filling a seat that was formerly held by Representative James Mitchell, the at-large seat.
Yeah, so James Mitchell resigned from council last month because he took a new job as part owner of a construction company that does business with the city. And basically, because he was a 25% owner, his new company could not do business with the city, and therefore he had to step down. So this happens periodically on the Charlotte City Council where there's a vacancy and council has to appoint someone. Usually it's a pretty quick affair, pretty easy. Everything is kind of hashed out beforehand. This time, though, there was just incredible interest to fill the seat. That city had more than 140 people apply. They determined that about 100 were eligible. They held a public forum on Friday in which nearly 70 people signed up to speak. Just a tremendous amount of interest. You know, a lot of people were raising their hand, but you had to be one of the inside players to really have a chance at this. This wasn't really an open competition. And it came down to a battle between two people, Jessica Davis, who works for the Mecklenburg County Courthouse, and Greg Phipps, a former council member. There was a group on council that supported Phipps because they said, look, he's got experience. He's not going to run again. He can come in and do the job for the next 10 or 11 months. Easy peasy. Then there was another faction that really wanted Jessica Davis because she was new. They thought she would bring a lot of good ideas. And so there was this kind of a battle over the two. What ended up happening is that Jessica Davis had 4 votes and Greg Phipps had 5. Council member Braxton Winston said he couldn't vote for either. He didn't want either one. For one, he said that Greg Phipps didn't show up to that public forum on Friday and didn't speak to council. That bothered him. And then his problem with Jessica Davis was she lost in a city election in a Democratic primary 2 years ago. So you had Greg Phipps couldn't get 6 votes, which was needed. Jessica Davis couldn't get 5 or 6. So it was a 5-5 deadlock for Phipps. And then Mayor Vi Lyles broke the tie, puts Greg Phipps back on city council.
You were mentioning the one council member that didn't want to vote either way, but wasn't there also a few other members who wanted to defer the vote and question the entire process?
Yeah, there were some council members like Victoria Watlington who were upset and felt like it wasn't transparent enough. They were kind of had concerns about how it was being done. Braxton Winston was the only one who just said, let's push this whole thing back and have another meeting to discuss them. But that didn't happen. It was kind of an interesting situation because, like I said, you had so many people who applied. You know, the reality is that as soon as James Mitchell stepped down, a lot of people on council kind of knew what they wanted, knew how they were going to vote. Maybe it wasn't definitive yet, but the idea that this was this like a true, I mean, you know, in a way, Paul, it's like any job. I mean, when you open up a job, the people in charge already have a pretty good idea of who they want.
Go back and give us just a little bit of background for the audience of what exactly brought James Mitchell to the point where he decided to resign. Was it there maybe even some controversy about some of his business dealings and his position with council?
Yes, there is a construction company in Charlotte, R.J. Leeper Construction, which is one of the biggest minority-owned companies in the city. They do a lot of work with the city of Charlotte. They're one of the builders on a big airport expansion. They're expanding the convention center. Hugh McCall, a former Bank of America CEO, is investing in minority businesses with this idea to help them become even bigger. And as part of this whole investment, James Mitchell was becoming a 25% owner in the company. Now, James Mitchell, his plan was, he's like, well, I will recuse myself from any vote involving R.J. Leiber. But state law says that if you own 10% or more of a company, then the city can't do business with that company at all, even if you recuse yourself. So they didn't realize that. They didn't realize that he couldn't simply not vote and it would still be okay. So kind of faced with this problem, it was more important to keep the business with the city than to keep James Mitchell's role on city council.
WNCW is speaking with Steve Harrison of WFAE Public Radio in Charlotte. It's More to the Story. And now to another topic. Steve, you also recently reported on census delays that could actually delay City of Charlotte and CMS to push their elections to 2020.
Yeah, so we've heard a lot about problems with last year's census. Some of it, people feel the Trump administration did not allocate enough resources to the census. Of course, COVID pushed things back. So last week, the census announced that the final set of data won't be released until July 30th. And this final set of data is this really detailed precinct by precinct counts of where people live. And you need that data to start redistricting. And that means you need that data to draw new congressional maps, to draw new state house maps, new state senate maps. You also need it to draw district maps for cities and counties that hold elections by district. Now, those ones I talked about, state house, state senate, Congress, those elections are in 2022. There's plenty of time to draw new maps. But because of the delay, it's going to be a real issue this year for the 2021 elections in the fall. Because in the city of Charlotte, the filing for these races will have already started in July before the data even comes out. So that has this problem. You've got this issue of the city can move ahead and hold the elections using old maps and risk being sued because the maps will no longer be really in compliance with, one man, one vote. You can move forward and put yourself in legal jeopardy. Or the other option is they could, by existing state law, push their elections into 2022. Like you said, the city of Charlotte and CMS, the school board, are dealing with this, but there's a lot of other counties. I think there's about 40 counties across the state that have similar problems. So people expect that the legislature is going to address this somehow. It's something to keep an eye on because of this 4 to 5 month delay.
Steve, take a moment before we wrap up to remind listeners how they can follow you, because even if someone's listening and they're not necessarily in or around Charlotte and need to know all the details about what's going on there, they may very much be interested in some things that are happening out of Raleigh if it comes to decisions by Governor Cooper, state politics in general, because you stay on top of that as well.
Well, pretty much every story that I do is on WFAE.org. They will be right there on the website. I'm also on Twitter. I think a Steve Harrison WFAE search will pull it up. And then WFAE will put a lot of its stories on social media through Facebook. A lot of ways to keep track of things, even if you're not listening to the radio.
Steve Harrison, thank you for your contributions and, of course, for what WFAE means to public radio. We appreciate you being with us today.
Hey, no problem, Paul. Take care.
Remember that More to the Story is also available as a podcast on our website, WNCW.org. I'm Paul Foster.